We are certainly delighted that you are here today. Many of our members, as has been stated, are away for various reasons, and we're very thankful that we have some visitors with us this morning. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. We love to have visitors. I want to say something about Van, too. I don't know how many years you've been struggling with cancer. It's been a long time. 2 years? Okay. But I know Van doesn't always feel very well, but he leads a wonderful prayer directing us to God and directing our thoughts in the way that is very spiritual. And we certainly appreciate that and wish him well as he goes to MD Anderson this week. I like this statement. I really don't know who made the statement, but it says, I could make excellent decisions if I just knew what was going to happen in the future. Couldn't we all? Ned and Roger and Stephen Landau's mother died in 2010. And she had saved a silver tea set and a few paintings when her parents died. There were a few things, not many, that had some value, such as the silver tea set and the paintings. But there was one other item that was a small portrait that always creeped out Ned when he saw it. It was a woman who had passed out in a chair, and two men were trying to revive her. So most of Mom's stuff went into Roger's basement under his ping pong table. You know how that goes. Store all these things that you don't know what to do with. But 4 years later, the three New Jersey boys decided to have a garage sale. John Nye, the estate broker, estimated the silver pieces to be worth about $2,000. And he thought the paintings were worth a few hundred dollars. So the three sons didn't see any reason to be present when the estate sale took place. The silver sold for a little more than expected. Several paintings sold for a few hundred dollars as they had expected. But the bidding for the portrait of the woman started at $250. Then it went to $800. And then it went to $5,000. And then it went to $100,000. And then it went to $450,000. And a French buyer won the bidding at $1.1 million. And they had had this painting in a basement as junk. It turned out to be one of Rembrandt's earliest works, part of a lost series on the early senses called The Sense of Smell from the early 1600s. We never know what's going to happen in the future, do we? But if you could look into the future, how far would you want to see? One day? One month? One year? One decade? A lifetime? How would you react to your foresight of bad things that were coming in your life? Would you want to know how you are going to die, or the date that you're going to die? And I think most importantly, would your ability to look into the future in any way change the way you are living in the present? The Lord, in His divine wisdom, knows that you have more than enough to handle today without giving you insight into infinite tomorrows. Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own," Matthew 6, verse 34. But as we have sung about this morning, there are some things that you can look into the future and know for certain they are going to take place. You cannot know the exact time they're going to occur, but you know they will occur because God has given you His promise and God does not lie. One thing you know is that you will not live in this physical body on this physical earth forever. Either you will die or the second coming of Jesus will take place. Another thing that we know for certain about the future is that Jesus will be sent by the Father to gather you to Himself and take you with Him to heaven if you are declared righteous through Him. And a third thing, you will, as we sang, stand before the judgment throne of God and either be eternally saved through the blood of Jesus Christ or eternally lost because of your sins. Those things we know. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 45 through 51. "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if the evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, wise servants are always prepared. There's a story about a wealthy landlord in England. He owned a castle that was centered on acres of beautifully landscaped lawns. And the landlord had his personal servant who was in charge of all the other servants. There were servants who cleaned the castle, servants who cooked the meals, servants who manicured the lawns, and on the list goes. The landlord would often leave for days at a time, and he wouldn't tell anyone, even his personal servant. No one knew when he was going to leave. No one knew when he was going to return. But that did not matter to the landlord's personal servant. When the landlord was absent, many of the underservants would complain to the personal servant to go easy on them. Becky must not have liked my preaching. She has more preaching. Okay. But at least the personal servant was consistent. He had the servants under him discharge their duties as if the landlord was home. And he told them, I do not know from one day to the next whether the landlord will leave or come home. Therefore, we will live every day as if he is home or coming home today. What a wise servant. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? And that's the way that we need to be living in view of the coming of Jesus Christ. So, what kind of servant are you? There are basically two types of servants who are in the kingdom of God that were listed in this text. And one is called watchful, verse 42, that we did not read. Ready in verse 44. Wise, responsible in verse 45. Blessed in verse 46. And capable in verse 47. And then there was another servant. It was a wicked servant. A cruel servant in verse 49, corrupt verse 49, and hypocritical verse 51. Well, because you are here today, and I certainly know many of you very well, I believe you want to be the good, faithful, watchful, ready, capable, and blessed servant of God. But how can you be certain that you are the good servant and not the wicked one? The text states that there is one fundamental criteria for determining whether or not you are a good servant. And that is, are you living today as if this is the day that your master will return? This is the way that we must live if we want to be good servants. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong somewhere else. We're merely sojourners here on earth, waiting for a time that we can go to heaven and be with our Lord. Listen to the next to the last verse in all of the New Testament in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. There are many people who find that last part difficult to pray or to say. But if we're living as we ought to live, it's something that should flow easily out of our mouths. Come, Lord Jesus. We're waiting on you. We love you. We want to spend eternity with you. The way you live today is determined, I think, by your vision of Jesus' life and Jesus' return. Yes, you can look into the future and know that God has promised you will not live in this physical body forever, that Jesus will return, and that one day you will stand before the judgment throne of God. But sometimes knowing something intellectually and living in accordance with that knowledge can be two different things. I have no doubt that you know assuredly that these things will take place because God always keeps his promises. But the way that you live every day of your life determines whether you really have faith that God's promises will be fulfilled, that your life could end or Jesus could return at any moment in time. Look at the evidence. How do you treat other people? How do you treat yourself? Wives, how do you treat your husbands? Husbands, how do you treat your wives? Employees, how do you treat your employer? Employers, how do you treat your employees? Children, how do you treat your parents? Parents, how do you treat your children? And your neighbors, and so forth. And the list could go on forever. We need to treat other people, and we need to treat ourselves as if Jesus is coming today. Do you disregard laws of the land and laws of God? Believe that you are above the law? And do you think you will have additional time to get your life right with other people and with God? I know a number of people who have gone into eternity knowing what they should do, and yet putting it off to another day. In Matthew 24, verse 48 that we read earlier through verse 51, if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Although his master could have returned at any time, the servant had convinced himself it would be later. How many have postponed until later? Because he had convinced himself that his master would not soon return, he behaved wickedly. Notice what it says in verse 48. If that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time. He convinced himself that his master would not soon return. Do you talk to yourself? Surely you do. All of us do. Psychologists call it self-talk. The interesting thing is that what you say to yourself is even more important than what you say to others. Are you truthful with yourself? And what you say to yourself generally is more honest than what you say to other people. And this is why Jesus said that the wicked servant would be cut into pieces. A Greek word from which we get our word dichotomy, dividing into two. That the wicked would be placed with the hypocrites. In that day, they, of course, had the plays. We might know something from the Shakespeare time as there were actors who would wear a mask, and they would hold a mask up. And that's what a hypocrite was. One who wore two faces. One that was fake and one that was real. Where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to go to a place like that. We want to go to heaven. There was a king who wanted to teach his subjects a lesson on service. And he had a large stone positioned in the narrowest part of an often traveled road. And he hoped that someone would go beyond the call of duty and remove the stone for that person's benefit and for the benefit of the whole kingdom. But no one did. And eventually the king assembled his subjects at the site of the stone. And the king pushed his weight against the stone and moved it slightly. Underneath the stone, he had placed a pouch filled with gold nuggets. If someone had just moved the stone a little bit, they would have received those gold nuggets. If we will just do what God says to do, we will be recipients of the greatest blessing ever. The blessing of heaven, going to be with God and our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. I hope that you are living in such a way that that's where you will be going to. I want us all to be together in heaven. If there's any way that we can meet your need, whether you need to ask for the prayers of the church or to be baptized into Jesus Christ, if there's any way that we can help you, please come forward as we stand and sing.